Bibles this morning. Turn with me to the book of Matthew in chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. And we'll be looking at verses 36 through 46 this morning. Let's begin reading with verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. That is the 11. The 11 he had just been speaking to, and as he was speaking to them and carrying on, they came to Gethsemane. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if thy cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. He came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hand of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. There are three things that we want to note this morning in this portion of Scripture. And the first is, this is a place of extreme pressure. A place of extreme pressure. The name of the garden was Gethsemane. It is of Aramaic origin. It means olive press. Gethsemane was and is a place where olive trees grew and produced their fruit, and the fruit was then harvested, and then it was pressed under extreme pressure to extract that precious olive oil. Jesus and the apostles arrived at the gate where he leaves 8 of them. And taking with him, Peter, James, and John, and going deeper into the garden. For the man, Christ Jesus, the Garden of Gethsemane on this night would be a place of intense pressure. The first thing we note about this pressure is that it was an internal pressure. These verses reveal the truth to us that Jesus Christ, the man, was in a time of intense trials. In the book of Mark, Mark's record concerning the same, in chapter 14 and verse 33, he tells us that he began to be sore amazed. Sore amazed. Which means to be struck with terror. The word has the idea of terrified surprise, or surprisingly terrified. Jesus knew what was coming, and he was looking to the cup which he was about to drink. And he knew that cup was not going to be pleasant, as we'll see as we go on. Both in Mark and in Matthew text, it says that he was very heavy. That is, he grew under great distress, great anguish. So he was surprisingly terrified, and he was under great anguish. And then he said, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful." My soul is exceeding sorrowful. That is, overcome with sorrow, so much as to cause one's death. Now, obviously, you and I have experienced such sorrow, such terror, for we're still alive. But that's said to be a real thing. Heard, read testimonies of doctors that it is possible for people to experience such sorrow that they pass on, that they die. And it said here concerning in Jesus' own testimony, it says that he was under this kind of sorrow. And so much so that if it were a normal man, it would bring about his death. And he said, even unto death. And that phrase simply means till death. In other words, Jesus is saying, I'm going to be under this sorrow, this extreme sorrow, until my death. Now, he knows he's about to suffer pain, about to suffer intense physical pain. He knew that he was about to bear our sins, the sins of his people, in his own body, on the tree. The book of 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, Peter gives this record and this testimony. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live on righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Jesus knew that this was the cup. Jesus knew that this lay before him. sin. He knows that he is about to suffer the wrath of God, the wrath of his Father, suffering our wrath, suffering my wrath, the wrath that of God that I deserve because my sin, because I'm a sinner. Jesus knew he was going to suffer that wrath for me. The wrath of his Father for my sin. For your sin, if you're here and saved today. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, in verse 10, says that the Thessalonians were turned from idols to serve the living and true God. And then verse 10 says, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Well, how did he deliver us from the wrath to come? By taking it himself. He paid my penalty. He suffered the wrath of God for sin, for my sin. Not his sin. He had no sin. But he did it for my sin. Well, he knows that the unbroken fellowship that he enjoyed with the Heavenly Father would be broken. It would be broken. And he would be forsaken as he hung there on the cross. And just before giving up the ghost, he said, Eloi, Eloi, sabachthani, which is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He knew that that fellowship which he enjoyed with the Father for a time would be broken. And that his Father would forsake him for the time. This pressure in the garden was also an external pressure. Turn with me to the book of Luke in chapter 22. The book of Luke in chapter 22. We'll read Luke's record in verse 44. He says this, and being in an agony, that is while Jesus was praying, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. I used to have the nickname at work, Sweat Hog, because I sweat profusely. Brother Mike thinks he sweats. Well, I sweat profusely. It just start running. Human morning, it just start running early in the morning, and it wouldn't quit. I'd go home, and there'd be white streaks in my clothes from the sweat having ran. People that had sweat and they had to change clothes. Well, it wouldn't have done any good to change clothes because they're just going to be wet too. Surely. my wife grew accustomed to it. And that's the way it was. But I never experienced sweat like this. Jesus was so earnest. He sweat great drops of sweat, as it were, great drops of blood running to the ground. I mean, the sweat just pooling off of him as blood running. Blood vessels that it broke would run. Some commentaries even think that maybe his capillary did break, and he actually did run drops of blood. It says, as it were, great drops of blood. So I don't think it was actual blood that ran, but he sweat. He was under a great external pressure, was he not? All of this shows us what? Shows us the humanity of Christ. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. His body knew weariness. He knew what it was to experience pain. He knew what it was to experience hunger. He knew what it was to be tired. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews in chapter 2. Look with me here at verse 10. For it became him, Christ Jesus, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory. I mean, that was his purpose in coming to the earth, that he might bring many sons. He might save his people from their sin, bring them as sons to glory. To make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Yes, he perfected the consummation of glory for us, so that we can experience glory just as perfectly as he is perfect. That's what he did for us in coming here as human. Look at verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, those sons which he's bringing to glory, they are partakers, we're flesh and blood. He also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. He took part of flesh and blood, became a man. God became a man for my benefit, that he might bring me as a son to glory. He became perfectly acquainted with the sufferings of a man, of his people, and he did it without sin. That's the amazing thing. He did it without sin. But it's not amazing for God. It's not amazing for the Son of God. Praise God. He did that, which I could not do, and he did it for me, so that I might live. Well, the second thing we want to consider about this place this morning is that it is a place of prayer. Back to our text in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39, we see that after he left Peter, James, and John and went a little distance, he began to pray. One of the Gospels, Mark or Luke, I forget which one, said he went about a stone's throw, as far as man could throw a stone, is about how far he went from them. It was a place of prayer. Jesus left 8 of the apostles at the gate of the garden. Taking Peter, James, and John with him deeper into the garden. And at a certain point, he tells them to wait here for him and to watch. The word watch there means to pay strict attention to. In Luke's record, in chapter 22 of Luke, in verse 40, he tells us that the first time that he left them, Peter, James, and John, he said, pray that ye enter not into temptation. You see, Matthew doesn't record that until he says it to Peter. What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Pray that ye enter not into temptation. But Luke records for us that he said that when he left them the first time. So, our text in verse 38, where he says, and watch with me, what is he telling them? Carries with it the idea of watch and pray with me. I'm going to be praying. You need to be praying too. I believe he said, in essence, what he said to the eight, when he left them there at the gate, he said, watch. And he took Peter, James, and John and went further into the garden. He's telling those eight, you watch. You be watchful unto prayer. We want to think about the object of his prayer. It's recorded in verse 39. Falling forward, flat on the ground, he prostrated himself, and he said, oh, my Father. That signifies to me, and especially because I know what is Mark said, how Mark said it, oh, my Father, expresses to me intimacy. Oh, my Father. And when you look at Mark chapter 14 and verse 36, where Mark records that he said, Abba, Father. And Abba is there again is another Aramaic term. And it simply means Father, but it is a more affectionate term, probably equivalent to our term, Daddy, which is said affectionately, lovingly. One who has an intimate relationship with one. I asked you this morning, do you have an intimacy with the Father? You ought to. You see, Jesus enjoyed great intimacy with his Father. And in him, in Christ Jesus, we have the same privilege. The book of Romans in chapter 8, verse 1 tells us, there is therefore now no condemnation to them with are in Christ Jesus. Are in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus this morning? And you go on down to verse 15 of the same chapter. Chapter 8 of Romans says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage. The spirit that we have received, being in Christ is not a spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we that are in Christ Jesus cry, Abba, Father. So those that are in Christ have the same intimacy with the Father that Jesus Christ did. Jesus, as he prayed, said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Now don't you think for a moment that Jesus was trying to persuade his Father to let him pass on going to the cross. That's not what was there. His humanity was not looking forward to the cross. His humanity was not looking forward to the cup that he was about to drink, which we've already expressed to you, the contents of that cup that he was about to drink. But he in his flesh, even in his flesh, he was totally submitted to the Father. Jesus told John the Baptist in the book of Matthew chapter 3 and verse 15 when Jesus came to him to be baptized. And John said, not so, Lord, I have to be baptized of thee. And Jesus said to him in verse 15 of the third chapter of Matthew, he said, allow it to be so now. For thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. It is necessary that I be baptized. It is a picture of my death, burial, and resurrection. That was on the mind of Jesus, even as he started his earthly ministry. Then in the book of Matthew, chapter 18 and verse 11. For the Son of Man has come to save that which is lost. And how is he going to save that which was lost? By becoming sin for them and suffering the wrath, their wrath, the wrath of God for them. In the book of John, chapter 10 and verse 17 and 18, Jesus said, therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. He came to lay his life down. He came to drink of that cup on our behalf. I remind you again, the hour was near. Jesus was about to take the sins of his people in his body on the tree and be separated from the Father. Mark chapter 15 and verse 34 said, Jesus cried with a loud voice after receiving the sop soaked with vinegar and touching it to his lips. And he cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The very thought of becoming sin and the broken fellowship with his Father was repugnant to the sinless Son of God. the sinless Son of Man. Notice the oppression of his prayer. Our text tells us that Jesus prayed this prayer three times. Three times. Verse 39, he prayed it. In verse 42, after finding Peter, James, and John asleep, and saying to Peter what he said about pray that you enter not into temptation. Verse 42 says, he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass from away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Notice, thy will be done. Not my will, but thy will be done. Verse 44, after he came to Peter, James, and John again, finds them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. Verse 44 says, and he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Listen, if nothing else, this teaches us importunity in prayer. The book of Matthew, chapter 7 and verse 7, Jesus said in his teaching there that seek or ask, seek, knock. He's teaching importunity in prayer, persistence in prayer. Be persistent in your prayer to the Heavenly Father. Three times are mentioned in Matthew 7:7. Ask, seek, and knock. Jesus, three times. Three times. What would you and I have done? First time after we went off, we prayed, and we prayed, sweat, great drops of sweat, run around, and we come back, and we find our friends asleep. Oh, I've been so discouraged. I'd have fooled you on you guys, and I'd take you home. Wouldn't you? Oh, I might have given them a second chance, right? And not a third. But Jesus persisted on. And I remind you, Jesus has just told them, told all 11 of them, that all of them would be offended because of him that night. Need to pray that they enter not into temptation. But they were fast asleep. Jesus persisted in prayer. Ought not we do the same? If we will, we will know the will of God. God will make known his will to us. Notice submission in prayer. Each time as Jesus was concluding his prayer, he expressed absolute submission to the Father. Not as I will, but as thou wilt. Thy will be done. He was in an absolute submission to his Heavenly Father. The words, I will and thou wilt, express to us that this was a time of real testing for the man, Christ Jesus. He was sinless and unable to sin. But he faced a time of severe temptation. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15 tells us that he suffered like as we suffer. He's able to sympathize with us concerning our sufferings. And that verse 15, Hebrews chapter 4, tells us, yet without sin. He did it without sin. But yes, he suffered just like you and I suffer. And he's seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. Advocate. And he can empathize with us in our sufferings. And yet he was submissive to the Father's will. Those sufferings that we go through, we want our will. We want to be relieved of them. We want them gone from us. And all we know, because Scripture teaches it, well, nevertheless, not according to my will, but according to thy will, dear Heavenly Father. But we really mean that last part of it, right? Because we want it gone. We don't want to suffer it anymore. But not Jesus. He was submitted to the Father's will. He went willingly to the court. He went willingly to the cross. He went willingly to the grave. He went willingly to rise again on the third day. He did it so that I might be saved. So that I might have everlasting life. Thirdly and lastly, we find that Gethsemane was a place of priorities. A place of priorities. The priorities of the Savior. Jesus had one purpose. He had one goal. He had one priority in his life. And that was to do the will of his Father. In the book of Luke, in chapter 2 and verse 49, when Jesus was just 12 years of age, we have recorded for us that he said, when his parents finally came back to the city and to the temple and found Jesus, that Jesus said to them, "Wist not that I must be about my Father's business?" In the book of John, chapter 4 and verse 34, we know the account in chapter 4 there of Jesus and the woman at the well. But do we realize that when Jesus began that account, his apostles were going to town to buy food for him, and Jesus had the discourse with the woman there at the well, and they came back, and his apostles prayed him to eat something, to eat food. You've been a long time without food. Our journey's been long, and you need something to eat. And Jesus said that I have meat that you know not of to eat. And they said, "Is some man here giving him something to eat?" Jesus said to him in verse 34, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." He said, "My necessary food is to do the will of my Father." In the book of John, chapter 6 and verse 38, Jesus there said, "I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." He came to do the will of his Father. And in John chapter 8 and verse 29, he said, I do always those things that please him. I do always those things that please my heavenly Father. His Father's will was all that he lived for. And he completed it. He finished the will of the Father. In the book of John, chapter 19 and verse 30, John records for us there as Jesus hung on the cross. Just before he gave up the ghost, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. He gave it up. They didn't take his life. He said in John chapter 10, I lay down my life. No man taketh it from me. Well, that was the priority of Jesus, to do the will of his Father. That was the priority of the man, Jesus Christ. Well, what were the priorities of the apostles? While Jesus is praying in great agony, those whom he had said to watch with me, pray with me. He said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. As we said, he just told them previously that they were all going to be offended of him because of him that night. They had need to watch and pray that they enter not into temptation, but they were fast asleep. They were fast asleep. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. Jesus was concerned with the will of his Father being carried out. And they were concerned only about themselves. That hits me. Does it speak to you? Yes. It was probably quite late when this transpired. Probably around midnight. Probably after midnight. I think the first rooster had crowed. And they were tired. But this was not the time for sleep. This was the time for prayer. You're all going to be offended because of me this night. Yes, Jesus had just told him that. He told Peter, not only are you going to fall into temptation, you're going to deny me. You're going to disown me tonight. And you're not going to do it just once, not just twice, but three times before the cock crows. This is not before the rooster crows in the morning. You're going to deny me. Listen, brothers and sisters. Now is not the time for sleep. It is the time for watching and for praying. Turn with me to the book of 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. Excuse me. First Thessalonians. First Thessalonians, chapter 5. Look with me here at verse 4. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. We need to be watching and praying. You like the things that are going on in this country? You like the things that are going on in the world? Well, we ought to be watching for Him to come and praying, even so come, Lord Jesus. But I think you and I have too much of the world in us. Well, no, not just yet. Not just yet, Jesus. I got this. No, not yet. Just yet, Jesus. I got grandchildren I want to see saved. Yes, I do have grandchildren I want to be saved. But I want to see my Jesus face to face. I want to be finally saved. Completely. Sin abolished. Gone. Out of this body. Out of the presence of sin. Jesus told Peter, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Turn with me to the book of Romans. Book of Romans, in chapter 13. Look at verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Almost 50 years ago. Yeah, and for 50 years I've been believing, yeah, Jesus coming is imminent. It's imminent. Hey, it's nearer now than it was 50 years ago. Right? Every one of the apostles after Jesus left, they were looking for His return. They talked about it in the book. That was over 2,000 years ago. It's closer now than it was 2,000 years ago. He's coming. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and in drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Pray that ye enter not into temptation. First Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13, he said, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be a man. Be strong. In 6:18, he said, praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all prayer. Experience and supplication for all saints, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Shall we stand?